Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Masechta Sanhedrin. We are continuing from last week, a two-part series. We're talking about the topic of Nogeh B'Davar, Nogeh B'Edus. The reason why this comes up is because, as we discussed last week, so we have in the Mishnah, we learned the Shita of Reb Meir. So there were two Shitas in Reb Meir, actually three Shitas of Reb Meir in the Mishnah, but we focused on the second, and really we're focusing mostly on the third Shita in the Mishnah of Reb Meir. In the Mishnah, Reb Meir says that in terms of the selection of the third Dayan, so Machlok is between the Chacham and Reb Meir, who's going to select that third Dayan. We've discussed that already in the past. The next discussion was a disqualification of the Dayanim. Can you disqualify the Dayan? So Reb Meir says you can, and the Chachamim said you can't, unless you know that they are pasul. When I say you know, meaning that you have corroboration amongst other Edim that they're pasul, or they are Kerovim, then you can disqualify them, but otherwise you can't. And Reb Meir says, no, you can. And the Gemara asks the question, how can you do that? What right do you have to disqualify the Dayanim? So the Gemara's response was, is that Reb Meir is only talking about a case of Hakara Shebesuria, meaning that they're not expert, they're not mumchim, they're not expert Dayanim, and therefore Reb Meir believes that you can disqualify them. And finally, the third opinion of Reb Meir in the Mishnah, which really demands all of our attention, and last week we gave it some of our attention, and this week we're going to give it more of our attention, and that is Reb Meir says that when my counter litigant brings in a pair of witnesses, so Reb Meir says, I can disqualify the witnesses. That's what Reb Meir says in the Mishnah. To which the Chachamim said, no, you can't. You can't disqualify the witnesses. No. The whole case is built on the witnesses. You can't do that. It's not within your power. They're going to testify about you, and if you have counter arguments, that's fine, but you can't disqualify the witnesses. It's almost impossible to imagine how Reb Meir could say that you could disqualify the witnesses. In fact, it's almost so impossible to imagine that, if you remember last week, we already went over the Reish Lakish's reaction, right? Pek Hadosh Lo Yomar Davar Zeh. There's no way that the holy mouth of Reb Meir would say such a thing. And so Reish Lakish gave a pshat in the Mishnah. We went through the pshat last week. The Gemara didn't end up accepting the pshat of Reish Lakish. Anyway, that was one pshat. But what we just started with last week, and we're going to continue with this week, is the second pshat that was offered by the Gemara. How can Reb Meir allow the disqualification of the other litigants' witnesses? It's such a simple question. So the Gemara gives a second suggestion. The second suggestion of the Gemara is send a name of Rabbi Elazar, and Bavahu v'achel poslan. So I'm just going to reread the Gemara again. I handed out a sheet of Mar Makamos, and you could see it in the Gemara as well. The Gemara is on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara is just a little bit from the top on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar Bavahu v'achel poslan. So the case is where you, the litigant, together with another witness, because remember, in halacha, one witness is not going to be enough to disqualify. So you, together with another witness, is going to come and disqualify the two witnesses of the other litigant. Kol kamineh, the Gemara asks the obvious question: Nogeh be'edusahu. So again, as I mentioned last week, let's just imagine for a moment that I'm the litigant and I'm the one now who's trying to disqualify those witnesses, and I have somebody coming along with me. Good. The Gemara says, how can that be? I'm nogeh b'davar. Meaning, there's no way that I have any objectivity in the world on this issue. When they're right now testifying about me, if they're testifying about me, of course I'm going to disqualify them. And I have no objectivity, I'm subjective. And the Gemara says, and how can I do that? So the Gemara's response is, let's get comfortable with the Gemara. Amar Vach Berdravika Kegon Shekara Alav Irer. So the Gemara says, well, what I did is I threw out the challenge flag. So the Gemara says, Ira Demai. Well, what challenge flag? Ilem Ira De Gazanusa. Am I accusing the other witnesses of being thieves? Called Kaminei. No Gebe Dusahu. Gemara says, if I'm challenging them and I'm saying that they're no good because, let's say, for example, I accuse them of being thieves. Once again, we're back to the same problem. I don't have objectivity. I'm the litigant they're testifying about. So I can't do that. So Ella Ira de Begamishbacha. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe the case is over here. Not maybe, this is Rebbe Lazar's pshat. Case is over here. And I'm not testifying about them, those witnesses, but rather, I'm testifying about their family. Meaning right now, I have nothing bad to say about them. They're wonderful, salt of the earth people, the best. What I'm saying, however, is that they descend from a family who has no business testifying. Meaning, I know the lineage of that family. That family comes, let's say, just for example, they're a Avadim. Okay, I guess not that many people know about it. Whatever, it was kind of, you know, kind of buried under the rug. But I know that they're coming from a family of avadim. So all I'm doing is I'm going over to the Beis Din. I'm informing the Beis Din. These people are fine in of themselves. It just happens to be that either the parents, the grandparents, but they come from a family of avadim. Meaning, basically, I'm saying they're avadim. And so I just want to present that information. To which the Gemara says, "Rameir Savar, Hanya Mishpacha Kemisade." So Rameir says, "Okay, let us focus on what I'm doing. I'm not testifying about them. I'm testifying about their family." Now it's true that it will affect the witnesses who are currently testifying about me, but that's not my prime motive. My prime motive is just simply to inform the court about their family. And Rabbanan Sarve Sof Sof Nogea Beidusahu. And the Chachamim say, let's have a reality check over here. Now of all times I'm coming forward to Beis Din to talk about this particular family. I think we all understand, Sof Sof, we all understand that I'm only saying something now about the family because it's going to affect the qualification of the witnesses who are currently testifying about me, and we all kind of get it. If I would ask anyone and everyone around this room intuitively which sounds like the more logical approach, I think everyone would say the Chachamim, meaning Sof Sof, and all said and done. I'm choosing now of all times to make an issue of who he comes from and the family that he comes from. Lamaisa, I'm doing it because they're currently testifying about me, and I'd like them currently not to testify about me. Okay.
In the midst of all that,
just one at a time.
I would say both don't make sense.
Oh. I didn't see that being an option, but okay.
Rabbi Akiva would testify and say he comes from Gerish. I mean, so he's no longer able to testify. I mean, what kind of business is that?
But in the judicial.
You're assuming that okay. If you can say something about the family, that is okay. I never came to the next year.
It's two separate issues. One issue is there are just certain people for no fault of their own that can't testify. Okay, women can't testify. Nothing to do with who they are. They just can't testify. Avadim can't testify. So I'm going to the court, and I'm telling the court, those witnesses right now come from a family of Avadim. Nothing. It's not. We're not judging. It's just simply that's just the reality of the judicial.
That doesn't make them Avadim.
If their parents are Avadim, they're Avadim.
But I don't understand something. Else. What do you mean? Now you say when else? This is now they appear. What do you mean? Now you say.
Okay.
This is when they appear.
Okay, good. So
now I say. Of
okay, good. So you're defending Reb Meir.
Yes.
Okay,
so
good.
So I mean, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And if you're saying that, then they're Avadim.
Yeah.
Not
saying
anything about their family.
Right. I understand that. Well, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Amishbachim esade v'ihu mi meila kapasel." Okay, it's going to be a result, but that's not really what I'm going after. I'm really going after the family, and then them mi meila. Okay.
But they're pasul for edus if they are avodim. So what's the problem? If he says, "Why do we have to go to the family?"
Well, right, because if it's a direct attack against the witnesses, you can't do that now. You're no gebedaver. You don't have the objectivity. In other words,
even if
what do you mean, even if? The only way we know they're avadim is because you're saying so. The reality is being created by the testimony. But if it's being provided by me, I have no right to do so right now. I'm currently in a case that they're testifying against me. Okay. Right. Okay. And all this now brings us to a very simple question, and it's really going to be the shiur today. Obviously, the main issue, the central issue over here in the Gemara, is an issue of nogei b'davar. Okay, and I think we all understand nogei b'davar on a very intuitive level, meaning that if right now I'm coming to testify, but I also have a vested interest in that which I'm testifying against, so we all understand that's not real. That's not testimony. You can't call yourself a witness, an objective witness, if you have some sort of gain, if you have some sort of personal benefit that comes out of it. That's what that's the entire concept. That's the whole idea of nogei b'davar. And so, with all that stated, so I'm going to ask a very simple question, and the answer may go in one of two directions. Nogei b'davar cannot testify. if you have a vested interest, you cannot testify. And my question is, for this afternoon, why? Why can't you testify? In other words, we're really looking to sharpen, and as you're going to see over the course of this afternoon, basically two different approaches in terms of why, if you're nogeh b'davar, why is it that you cannot testify if you have a vested interest? Okay, so one possibility. Let's see if we can work out both of them outside, and then I'll show you inside.
One is your prejudice, and the second is people will think you were prejudiced when you were
speaking. Okay, so let's start off there. Meaning you're prejudiced, and as a result of prejudice, you lose your objectivity. You lose your objectivity, and let's even further distill it. Right, that's it. In other words, you don't have the credibility, right? And without credibility, obviously, what good are you as a witness if you don't have credibility? Meaning the whole basis of testimony is we need to know that the person at least is in a position where he could be telling the truth. If we now know that he's not in a position where he could be telling the truth, because there's something pulling at him, which is basically going to incline his testimony. No good. Okay, so, and from this point forward, we're going to call that now a chashash meshaker. The problem is that we are concerned that he's going to lie. Okay, that's one possibility of why nogeh b'davar.
Chashash of what?
Of meshaker, of lying. Okay, so we're afraid that the person's going to lie. That's one reason why nogeh b'davar is no good. And what we're going to go over right now is that there may be another possibility. Another way to look at why nogeh b'davar cannot testify. And this one gets interesting. When you're nogeh b'davar, when you have a vested interest in something, so that means now that you're testifying, but because you stand to gain, you're more than just testifying. What role now are you serving? Yeah, an advocate,
a lawyer.
Could say it even stronger. That's really strong, huh?
A prejudiced witness.
But that goes back to our first point. We're now going to try to move this into one other direction, and that is that if you're nogeh b'davar, so that means that you have a vested interest. So that means now that you're not really longer someone who's testifying, but rather you're part of the judicial process. Now, Rabbi Friedman suggested at Dayan, I'm going to just go one step a little bit less than that. Meaning basically now, you're a litigant. You're now no longer an outsider looking in, but now, because you stand to gain, you're an insider. You are what they say in halacha is referred to as a baldavar. Meaning basically, you now have turned into a litigant. Okay, now think this through. We have this in our country. It's not exactly the same as halacha, but in our country, when you have when you stand trial, so you have the right.
You have the right to remain
silent, and there is no need for you in this country to incriminate yourself. Now, by the way, in this country, if you want to incriminate yourself, so by all means, gesundheit. For whatever reason that you feel that you deem proper to do so, but you don't have to incriminate yourself. Now, this is true in the American legal system, but in halacha and the Torah, it goes actually much further than that. So the Gemara describes in the Gemara Sanhedrin. We're going to see it. It's actually coming up later in the Masechta, in this Perek. Then the halacha is known as Ein Adam Meisim Es Atzmo Rasha. A person cannot make himself a Rasha, meaning that if it is testimony about himself, so nothing then becomes admissible. You cannot present any type of testimony about yourself. And it's not even such a credibility issue. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, do you know why you're not the Mesa Masasma Rasha? Do you know why you can't testify about yourself? Because you are your closest relative. Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. We know you can't testify about family members. You can't testify about your brother. The Gemara says, Moshe can't testify about Aaron. Moshe and Aaron can't come in and testify together. Are we ever going to question the credibility of Moshe and Aaron? Now, I know there are midrashim that say that they, you know, people did, but in other words, but hopefully and thankfully we know better. It's not a credibility issue. meaning as a karov, you just simply, the Torah just simply passes, the Torah disqualifies one karov to testify about another karov. Well, in terms of krovim, so you have distant relatives, you have closer relatives, and you have the closest relative in the world, and that of course is yourself. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Daf Chafei, just a couple dapim from where we are right now. The Gemara says that Adam Karov Eitzel Atzma, the Gemara puts the two sentences together. Adam Karov Eitzel Atzma, a person is related to himself. Ein Adam Mesim Atzma Rasha, and a person cannot incriminate himself. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chafei. So what we can offer now is actually an alternative explanation in terms of what's wrong with being a Nogei B'Davar. Nogei B'Davar, not so much a credibility issue, not so much that we're worried about your lying, it's just that once you have an interest, you are now no longer an outsider looking in, you're an insider. You're actually in the trial. You're a Baldavar. You're a Karov. And you can't testify now. Because now you're in on the case. You're not out of the case. Not a credibility issue. We're going to call this from this point going forward an issue of being a karov. Again, when I say karov, I mean you're the karov. But the Gemara says, Adam karov eitz l'atzma, you're related to yourself. So these are really two different and distinct ways at looking at Nogei B'Davar. Either Nogei B'Davar is an issue of chashash sheker, we're afraid that the person's going to lie, or the issue is an issue of being a karov.
And this is what Reb Meir means.
That's going to come all the way at the end. Meaning I'm going to take you there, but just follow me around a little bit, and you'll see. We're going to take a little bit of a tour, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to bring it home back to Reb Meir and the Chachamim. That's the general direction of what we're doing today. Okay. These two positions, by the way, in terms of how to understand Nogei B'Davar and the two approaches I just gave you. So this is a machlokis amongst the Rishonim. So if you take a look at the Shach, I quoted the Shach inside. I gave out the Amar Mekamashi. So if you have it, great. And if not, it's also fine. You could just listen. You know, I'll just present the various sides. So he quotes the Shach in the beginning of Siman Lamed Zayin, Tzivkat Na'alef. The Shach quotes, Be'ir Shushan. Ir Shushan is the sefer that's authored by the Levush. Kasa B'Zev Zelashono, V'lo Mishum De'Chashtin Alei, Ela Mishum De'Adam Karov Eitzel Atzma. So he gives, where is it? It's there are two sides. So it's on the bottom of the first column. So he gives, I underlined it. So he says, "V'lo mishum dechashin alei, ela mishum da'adam karov eitz atzma." Why, if you're Nogei B'Davar, why can you not testify? So he gives what we call the second shot. He says, because it has nothing to do with chashad, it has nothing to do with a lack of credibility, but once you have a vested interest, once you stand to gain, so now you're an insider, you're a baldavar, and you can't testify about yourself. That's why Nogei B'Davar can't present any type of testimony, because you're no longer a witness. You are now a baldavar. You're a karov. So that is the pshat offered by the Levush. Without going into too much detail right now, I do want to cover a certain amount. If time permits later on, I will explain exactly how they arrived at this argument. But right now, I'm just presenting the two sides. After the Shach goes through the... goes through the Levush, goes through the proof of the Levush, he disagrees, and ultimately the Shach takes the position that it is not because of Karov, but it's rather because of loss of credibility. A chashash that he will be Meshaker. So he goes on to present his own position as well. Okay, so those are your two basic positions. With that stated, so now a couple of basic issues that come out from this machlokas between the Levush and the Shach. So number one, the Shach is not a Rishon, Shach is an Achron, but okay. But the point's still there, it's a machlokas. Number one, the Or Zerura considers the following scenario. We have in our Gemara the scenario in which you're brought to trial, right? I'm taken to court, and I have witnesses now testifying about me, and I'm trying to impugn their incredibility. So whatever argument I construct, whatever I say, I'm trying to impugn them and disqualify them. And please leave me alone, because There's no way these guys can testify about me. They're not good witnesses. Good. So again, so the basic halacha, of course, is that ignore everything I say. I'm the litigant. I obviously have a vested interest. So ignore me and let them testify. Okay. The Or Zeruah says, but I wonder about the following. And you can see this inside. I underlined it. It's on the second side, first column. I underlined the Or Zeruah. V'lo is barali. So the Or Zeruah says the following. I'm curious, and it's not clear to me the following scenario. Heichi dahavi ragla meimra hai baldin dahai aid gazlan hu kodem zehamaisa. Let's say the Or Zeruah wonders where, you know, this is not the first time I said something about that person who's testifying about me. In fact, I've gone on record historically, and I've said in the past, you know, that guy's a Goslin. That guy's a Goslin. Now let's assume. I'd like to think that the Or Zeruah is talking about where this is done in the context of a court, and not during the Kiddush, and not by the carpool lane. But in other words, let's just assume that it was done in the context of a court. But the point being, I've said this in the past, not when I was a Baldin, not when I was standing trial, but I've said it historically in the past. I've called him a Goslin before. This is not the first time I'm doing it. Now it happens to be that I'm a litigant and I'm standing trial and I'm looking at a guy testifying, the guy that I've been saying for weeks, months, let's call it years, that he's a Goslin. So the Or Zeruah says, I wonder, in such a scenario, can I be believed in such a case? So Agazan Ukodum Za Maisa O Mehemin. Mida Dahave Tamakham Shamra Bishas Maisa. Hekishana Gaba David Dala Mehemin Vimaya Modo Bakurma Maisa Mehemin. Right, there's another area in Halach in which if a Tamakham has been issuing a psak before the issue came up, and now the issue came up and he's already issued a psak, we're gonna listen to him. However, if a Talmud Chacham has something where it affects him and he never issued a psak before, so the Gemara says he shouldn't issue a psak now, because this is the first time and, you know, obviously he has a vested interest. But in the meantime, however, the Or Zeruah says, I don't know. I don't know in such a scenario whether or not I can be believed over here, because this is not the first time I've been saying it. I've been saying it for the longest time. And let's just, for argument's sake, say I've gone on record saying it, whatever that means. Okay. Now, the Or Zeruah leaves this question unresolved, and now let's consider. What's the suffix? What's the doubt of the Or Zeruah? So here, the Kielas Yaakov, the stipler, writes that the suffix of the Or Zeruah is based on the two sides that we just offered. Meaning, why can a Nogea Bedavar not have an opinion? Why can he not offer testimony? So one consideration is chashash mishaker, that we're afraid that he lost his credibility because he has a vested interest. Another issue is because karov, because now that he is a nogeya b'davar, he's no longer an outsider. He's now an insider. He's now considered part of the litigation. He is a litigant now because he has a vested interest, and so therefore he can't testify. So the stipler writes. In Simon Tesvav, in Sanhedrin, the stipler writes, that's exactly the suffix of the Or Zeruah. If the issue is we're worried about his credibility in such a scenario, we don't have to worry about his credibility. Because he's not saying it now for the very first time. He's been saying it before. He's been saying it for weeks, months, years. He's been saying that the guy's no good. Now it happens to be that he's standing trial. Okay, but when all said and done, this is not the first time I've told you that this guy's no good. I've told you this guy's no good for a long time. Even before it affected me, well before it affected me. So if the whole issue is an issue of credibility, a lack thereof, over here, we don't have to worry about his credibility. He's been saying it for a long time, even when his credibility was perfectly fine. If, however, writes the stipler, the issue of Nogea Bedavar is not an issue of credibility, but it's an issue of you're no longer an outsider, now you're an insider, so even though you've been saying in the past he's no good, but right now you are a litigant. Right now you're part of the process. And because now you are one of the litigants right now, it doesn't matter that in the past you said something about him. Right now, you can't say anything about him because you're a karov. Because since you have a vested interest, now you're a litigant just simply cannot say anything about witnesses who are currently testifying about him. So that is the Stipler's explanation of the Orzer Rosafik. The Stipler makes a second point as well. And that is the following. Just a little bit of background in order to understand this next point of the Stipler, and that's the following. We have a general rule, basic klal, that kevin she butla mixa seida butla kula, that when you have a pair of witnesses come, and for whatever reason one of them gets knocked out, the other one gets knocked out as well, meaning you live and you die with the other witness that you go that you I don't mean that literally, but You're
sink or
swim. Right, correct. That's a much better way to say it. You're going to sink or swim with the other with the other witness. So when you come in with another witness, so if he's disqualified, you're also thrown out of the court as well. Okay, kevin shabat lemixas abat lekula. That's the general rule that the Gemara says over a number of times throughout Shas.
Why
should that be? It's a kat. They're viewed as they're not viewed as two witnesses. They're viewed as a pair. Okay, they come in as a pair. Even if the testimony was not coordinated, when they come in together, they're considered cut. You can't have the testimony exist by only one witness. The Torah demands that the testimony have to come through two witnesses. So therefore, they need each other, and because they need each other, so now they're bound together. Okay, that's the halacha. That's the basic halacha. The Mishnah Melech brings down. Let's say that of these pair of witnesses, one of them is disqualified, but not because he's a thief, not because he's a gambler, not for any of the reasons that the Gemara, that the Mishnah later on will describe, but he was disqualified because he's no geir bedaver. Let's say in this particular case, he had a vested interest. And so he was disqualified because he was no geir bedaver. Under such circumstances, are we going to say, kevin shabat lemixasa bat lekula? The Mishnah Lamelech, you can see it inside, I'm not going to quote it inside, but the Mishnah Lamelech says that is a machlokas. Okay, he quotes various opinions in terms of whether or not we're going to disqualify the other witness. So once again, the Stipler comes in, the Stipler says, well, how do you understand this machlokas? So the Stipler says the same exact way, meaning let's now consider. What is the problem of Nogeh B'Davar? What's the issue of Nogeh B'Davar? So on one hand, the issue of Nogeh B'Davar is that we're worried that you're lying. So basically, your credibility is shot. So once your credibility is shot, kevin shabat lemixas abat lekula. Once one of the witnesses gets knocked out, the other witness gets knocked out as well. Okay, that would be one side of the issue. On the other hand, if the issue is that you're a karov, and the issue of karov is you're no longer a witness, you're now a litigant. If you're now a litigant, so basically, it's not one witness and one witness, it's one witness and one litigant. Just because we knock out a litigant doesn't mean that we're going to knock out the witness. Right? If you have, in other words, his role now is no longer, he's no longer one of the witnesses. He's simply now a litigant. And so because now he's a litigant, we're not going to say kevin shabat lemixas abat lekula, because he's not coming in as the second witness. He's merely coming in as somebody who is invested in the trial. And therefore we wouldn't say kevin shabat lemixas abat lekula.
So,
well, in other words, if you can find another witness, so he'll replace this witness.
Right.
However, if we're going to say over here, butla mixasa, butla kula, so then we throw the two of them out. Okay, good. So once again, so the Stipler suggests that this machlokus between the Levush and the Shach, in terms of what's the issue of Nogeh B'Davar, either it's a loss of credibility, or it's now that he has a vested interest, he's basically standing trial himself, he basically becomes a Baldavar. So now this issue may affect, number one, the Suffolk of the Ur Zeruah, number two, the question that we ask in the Mishnah Melech, what if one of the witnesses becomes disqualified through the Psul of Nogeh B'Davar? With all that stated, now we're going to go back full circle, and now we're going to bring it all the way around and bring it back home. So now let's go back to our issue. Our issue is that we had in our Gemara an attempt to understand Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Elazar says, I'll give you an explanation of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, the case involved over here is where I'm not testifying about the The witness is per se. I'm merely testifying about their family, and I'm testifying about their family. So Rav Meir says there's no problem of nogeh b'davar, and therefore Rav Meir was of the opinion that it's fine. You could testify about their family. Of course, testifying about their family inevitably will disqualify the witnesses. But I'm not shooting for the witnesses. I'm shooting for the family. Mimela, and of course the witnesses themselves are going to be disqualified. But mimela, not because the direct result of me, it'll be indirect. And the Chacham's response is so. Come on. Let's look around. Let's open our eyes a little wider. We understand he's disqualifying the family so that the witnesses themselves will be disqualified. They're currently testifying about him, and it's no geba davar. And so maybe let us suggest, the stipler doesn't say this. This is now where we are hopefully perhaps going to have a better understanding now. Let us suggest that maybe this machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is going to be predicated on this very issue. Meaning, over here, this is clearly a case of nogeh b'davar. Meaning, right now, I, the litigant, am trying to disqualify those witnesses because I don't want them testifying about me. So I clearly am invested. I'm a nogeh b'davar. So the Chacham's position is, I can't disqualify them, I can't disqualify their family. Rav Meir says, no, it's okay, you can disqualify their family, that's fine. What's behind this machlokas? So again, now let's suggest. And again, I'm saying this as a perhaps. This is just an attempt to explain a very difficult machlokas. Maybe the Chacham's position goes with the credibility, goes with the thought process of credibility. Meaning, what's the issue of nogeh b'davar? It's a question of, are you telling the truth or are you incentivized to lie? Here, the litigant clearly is incentivized to lie. And if he's going to go directly at the witnesses themselves, or if he's going to go at the family, but by going after the family, who's going to disqualify the witnesses, obviously, when all said and done, he is incentivized to lie. And so the position of the Chachamim follows the thought process of Chashash Meshaker, of an issue of credibility. And once we see that his credibility is compromised, we simply cannot, we can't pay any attention to him. Meaning, it's done. You simply don't have a leg to stand on. And that would be the opinion of the Chachamim. Okay, good. Now let's go to Rav Meir. And perhaps, as a suggestion, Rav Meir takes the other side of nogeh b'davar. What's the other side of nogeh b'davar? The issue of karov. That once you have a vested interest, so now you're no longer a outsider, you're now an insider. Okay. And maybe Rav Meir will make the following argument. Okay. I'm an insider, meaning I have something to gain and I'm an insider, but it's not an issue of my credibility. Meaning the issue of Karov has nothing to do with credibility. The issue of Karov is just simply, the Torah says, as a relative, you can't testify about yourself. Okay. Over here, who's the primary candidates in this particular case? There's me, the litigant, and then there's the witnesses over there. The witnesses are currently trying to testify against me, and I can't disqualify them. Why? Because I have an interest. And because I have an interest in testifying about them, I'm really going to be testifying about me. I'm saying something about me. Fine. That's why, according to Rav Meir, I can't go directly after them, because by going after them, I'm really helping my cause. And in such a scenario, I'm a karov. I'm an insider, not an outsider. Okay. But now, according to Rav Meir, let's go one step further. Now, let's say I'm not saying anything about the people who are currently testifying about me. I'm now talking about their family. I'm talking about their family. Now, of course, it's understood that all we have to do is just follow, connect the dots. Yes, it's true that by disqualifying the family, it's going to be disqualifying the witnesses, which in turn is going to save me. That's all true. But again, according to Rav Meir, in our suggestion, this is not a credibility issue. This is an issue of, in the case that's currently at hand right now, I can't say anything about the witnesses because I'm a karov. But when I'm now no longer speaking about the witnesses, I'm speaking about somebody else. In that relationship, I'm not a karov, meaning, we understand it's all going to come back to me. But I'm not a karov in speaking about their family because their family is not involved in this case. I'm a karov only as it relates to people I speak about that are involved in this case. But I'm speaking about people that are not involved in this case. I'm not a karov legabe them. It will come around to help me. But right now, in this particular moment, when I'm saying something about the family, I'm not a karov legabe them. So, under those circumstances, maybe Rav Meir will make the argument. Not maybe, he is making the argument. I can impugn the family. I can say something about the family. Now, yes, there's a trickle-down effect. We all understand that. But again, if the issue is not credibility, if the issue is Karov, maybe we can make this distinction. Karov is only for the people involved in the case, but Karov is not an issue for people that are outside of the case. There, the witness's family is not in the case. Therefore, for me, it's not going to be an issue of Karov. So maybe that is a way to understand the machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Maybe could be hinging on these two ways of looking at Nogea B'Davar. Is Nogea B'Davar just an issue of credibility? Or is Nogea B'Davar an issue of, once I am gaining, I am now testifying about myself, and I am a Karov Eitzel Atzmo. And that's why I can't testify about myself. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. Yeah.
To me, it seems like the word Karov means Sheker. What's the reason?
I hear Rabbi Freeman. I totally hear you. It happens to be the Gemara. I don't have the daf on me right now, but the Gemara says that you can generally say that, but you certainly can't say that as a blanket statement. The Gemara says Moshe and Aaron, who have the highest degree of credibility, they can't testify for one another. Gemara says it's just that the Torah says that relatives can't testify for one another. Again, we could.
Is this what it's for?
What you're doing, which I think is reasonable, is you're saying, but why can't they testify about each other? Oh, it must be because they're too close to each other, and therefore they're going to be impartial. You could make that argument, but the Gemara says that it's more of just a blanket, just to choke. It's just that the relatives can't testify about each other. Okay, so let's just quickly wrap it up, and then we'll conclude. Next week we'll move on to a different topic. Obviously within the third paragraph of Sanhedrin. So again, we're trying to understand the Shita of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that one litigant can testify the witnesses of the other litigant. At face value, it seems nearly impossible to understand. How can that possibly be? How can you're no Gea B'Davar, you're invested. Obviously, you're gonna want to disqualify them because right now they're testifying about you. So Rav Elazar offers an explanation that, well, maybe it's not where I am saying anything about the witnesses, I'm saying something about the family. Rav Meir says that's fine. The Chachamim say that's not fine. And what we suggested over the course of this afternoon is that maybe this touches on a very fundamental issue of what exactly is the psul of Nogea B'Davar. Is it a loss of credibility, or is it an issue that you're a karov and ein adam esam esatzma rasha, and you just simply don't have the ability, you don't have the power to incriminate yourself? Those are two plausible ways of explaining what is the psul of Nogea B'Davar. We saw together in the Shach that this actually is a machlokus between the Levush and the Shach in terms of how the psul of Nogea B'Davar works. We went through the stipler's two nafkaminas. We talked about the stipler's first nafkamina about what if this is not the first time you've been saying something about the witness. What if historically you've been saying something? The Or Zeruah says, I don't know what the halach would be over there. The stipler went on to explain the suffix of the Or Zeruah is hinging on these two explanations. The other nafkamina the stipler pointed out is, what if one of the witnesses gets disqualified through the psul of Nogea B'Davar? Is that going to automatically reject the other witness? So once again, it's the machlokus. We saw that in the Mishnah Lamelech. And again, the stipler says this also is going to be hinging on the very fundamental issue of how to understand Nogea B'Davar. And finally, we went full circle and we suggested maybe, and again, perhaps, the stipler does not say this. We're saying this. We're suggesting this. And I'll take full ownership. I'm suggesting this. That maybe this issue also is exactly the issue between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Where according to the Chachamim, the issue is an issue of credibility. So who cares who I'm testifying about? I'm testifying about the litigants. I'm testifying about their family. When all said and done, if I have a gain to gain from all this, my credibility is impugned. And in other words, it's certainly inadmissible. Mashenke, maybe Rav Meir will tell you that no. Maybe the issue of Nogea B'Davar is an issue of not credibility, but it's karov. It's just simply the fact that once I am testifying about something where I'm gaining, so then I'm considered a karov etzel atzmo, but that's only for the people involved in the case currently. For people outside of the case, it doesn't apply. And so I suggested maybe that if I'm talking about the family members, they're not currently involved in the case. And so maybe according to our mayor, that would be okay. That's why it would be okay. Kind of that brings us to the end of the topic of Nogei B'Davar.